Everybody just, you know what? Everybody needs a dictionary for Christmas. I see your all's posts. People need a dictionary and they need to go to Hillsdale. Or just at least take advantage of some other online offerings that they make available to you for free. So many colleges and universities today, it's all about critical race theory when really they should be about critical thinking. That would be so helpful, right? It's all about indoctrination. So over at Hillsdale, if you're unfamiliar, it's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan that's actually focused on something called academics. Super neat. I mean, it's like unheard of now in today's environment. You can watch a short video that shows you how Hillsdale's work is incredibly effective in defending American liberty, not just on the Michigan and D.C. campuses, but across the nation. And you can access it at Dana4Hillsdale.com. See, at Hillsdale, students are encouraged to debate ideas openly and honestly and pursue truth together with their professions, to study America's great heritage of liberty and understand what is required, the type of education required to preserve civil and religious liberties. That's their mission that they were founded with in 1844. It's what they still do today. To learn more about the mission of Hillsdale College, visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, improving hearts.
Do you have any proof of life on hostages, especially the Americans, in the negotiations that have been going on? Has there been anything that could reassure the negotiators, the president, and you, that hostages remain alive and potentially could be rescued?
So we have been very transparent about the fact that we have limited visibility into both the whereabouts of the hostages within Gaza and their condition.
Yeah, we've been very transparent about the fact that, you know, we don't know anything. We know nothing. That was, who's that, Jake Sullivan?
Yeah.
Saying, he was asked about the proof of life. Like, okay, so do you have proof that hostages are still, do they even know how many there are?
No.
See, I got problems here. I got problems. First off, welcome to the program. You're, somewhat lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you, as always, to kick your, heck, today is a Tuesday.
Yep.
First off, to kick your Tuesday off correctly, can I just let you know that, you know, as it gets into the holiday season, do you find yourself like, what day is it? Because everything is so crazy and chaotic that you are struggling to keep up. And then you got the news on top of it. Then you have the presidential primary stuff that just makes you just want to tie your bed sheets into a noose, if I'm being real. Like, you know, but don't do that because you're loved. You're loved. All right. So they don't know. Jake Sullivan, he's got no idea. You guys, no clue. He doesn't know how many hostages there are. Hostages? What? I mean, I'm just surprised that they know that the situation's happening. I don't know if Biden is reflective of the administration or the administration is reflective of him. Do you know what I mean? Because none of them have it together. It's not just Biden. I mean, God love him. You know, only God can. John Kirby, who I don't agree with all the time, and I don't like the language that he uses, as we discussed yesterday right at the top of the show. He seems like to be the one who's kind of only with it. Like, he's the only one, right? Who, when he talks, you're like, there's a thinking, there's a person that has more than one brain cell. To imagine, you're Jake Sullivan, you're NSA, you have one job. And you go out and you're like, I just don't know, we just don't know. I mean, they can sit here, this is what the United States can do. The United States can sit here. I didn't think that this technology was available except on CSI. You know how they go, oh, I don't know, that CCTV footage is too grainy. Let's run it through the magnetogump and it'll come out crystal clear like it's HDTV, right? That doesn't exist. Apparently they have it, though, because they can sit here. If they found out that you farted in the general direction of the Capitol on January 6th, FBI is going to knock on your door. Yeah, hello, FBI here. We understand that you passed gas in the general direction of the White House on January 6th. Can you tell us about this? Chipotle? I mean, you can just, you know, they can do all that. They can find you out. They can run you down. Yes. We're here to arrest you for unlawful parading. The hell's unlawful parading? It's parading that's not lawful. Yes, don't we have the freedom to assemble? No, you don't. No, you're not really. See what I mean? Like, they can find all these people out from a patch of pixels, and they can go and find you out, but they can't tell you how many people, how many hostages there are. I'm like, how do you not know that? How do you not know how many Americans are there? What the hell do we sit here and enter our information at the airport for? Right? I thought that was doing something. Is that not doing something? There are a lot of people out there that do that, that sit here and go through the lines. You ever go, like when you're going to the airport and you're flying somewhere and you come up to the labyrinth and it's empty, but yet no one undid the little stretchy things. And I'm going to tell you how I found this out, but you know you can't do that yourself when you go to the airport security area, by the way, when you approach the empty labyrinth. You can't just go, this is stupid, and make a straight path for yourself to security. Do you know that they don't let you do that? I'm not saying I know that firsthand experience, having done that and gotten told, but you know, no, you have to go through the labyrinth, and nothing makes you feel so stupid as when you have your little rollerboat, your little carry-on, and you're going through the labyrinth. I thought that did something. I thought it did something. Apparently it does not. Like when we enter all our stuff in so they can see which American citizens are overseas and where you're going to and all this different stuff. Now, apparently that's not how any of that works. That's not at all how any of that works. So they don't know how many is over there. But by George, if you farted in the general direction of the Capitol on January 6th, they know you. They know you. Now, speaking of the Capitol, they have the big march for Israel that is happening today. It is pro-Israel demonstrations that are taking place today in the Capitol. There's a ton of people out there. And good. A huge crowd. They said that they're expecting, I think it's going to be over 100,000. They're expecting 100,000. I don't know how many demonstrations I have been to in D.C. There for a while, it was like every month there was a demonstration. This was like a few years ago. So I can kind of look at like an aerial photo. I'm almost an expert at this point. And I can be like, yeah, that's about 100,000, or that's not. I've seen some of these aerial shots. I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks like 100,000. That I think there's more. I think there's more people out. The stuff that Juan is showing, that's just on the simulcast. That's like not even like right in the heart of it either. That's just like the outskirts of it. There's a ton of people that are showing up for this. So they said they're flooding the National Mall in Washington. It's going to be one of the largest pro-Israel protests since the October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas, Gaza's elected government. It's organized by the Jewish Federations of North America and the Conference of Presidents of, that's a long name, Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations. So they're saying everybody come out. Just, it's condemning rising anti-Semitism across the nation. I know a ton of people that are over there. And so it'll be interesting to see, first off, if there, hopefully everything stays peaceful and there's not any pro-Hamas people that go out. But I want some of these other nations to see the support that Israel has in terms of self-defense for itself. Because think about this. You have a number of countries that have normalized relations with Israel, right? You have Morocco, you have Egypt, you have Sudan, you have Jordan, UAE, you have Bahrain, and then you have the Saudis that, I mean, they were on the pathway. And in fact, just last month, they had expressed great interest in continuing on that pathway of normalized relations, infuriating Iran. And so as more and more, as they see the support, I think that's encouraging. And so that will, I mean, and it looks like there, so far there's already 100,000 out there. So, and still, I just think it's just shameful that on this day, that's the big soundbite, is that they have no idea how many hostages, American hostages, are over there. I saw a very interesting question that was asked in conjunction with this. So, Kane, what's the big chant that you always hear from the pro-Hamas people?
Death to America?
Well, yeah, I mean, in addition to that, that's it. Yeah. What's the other, the pro-Hamas, the Hamas lovers, what's their big chant?
So from the river to the sea?
Okay. How can you have that and also simultaneously a ceasefire that you had October 6th?
Yeah, those don't compute.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, you have from the river to the sea, which is total annihilation of your neighbor. And then on the other hand, you have a ceasefire, which is exactly what you had on October 6th. How do both of those exist simultaneously? I'm just asking. I'm asking for a lot of friends listening right now. I'm just... That's why people who hear people, others call for ceasefire, they don't mean a ceasefire. I think the call for ceasefire is stupid because it doesn't mean anything. It's not real. I'm telling you right now, that country isn't real. It's true. Palestine's not real. But they don't want a ceasefire. This isn't about having a ceasefire. Not at all. We're going to talk more about that. Can we talk about the cocaine in the White House? We got to have that conversation here, guys. So breaking the images have been released. Daily Mail, which is it's a British paper that kind of leans right, but they're still insufferable. And they have the largest distribution in the world. So they got the images of the booger sugar that was in the White House cubby. Sidebar, great speakeasy style bar, Kane. White House cubby, right?
I like it.
The White House. And it could be like where some of our made up bands play. At the White House cubby. Dibs, it's mine. So they still don't know whose bag of... They don't know much, do they? The White House. They don't know how many American hostages. They don't know whose bag of cocaine is in one of the most surveilled places on earth. They have no idea how that booger sugar was found in the White House cubby. No clue. But they can sit here and tell you probably what if you ate your dinner last night near a window, they can probably tell you what you had. But they don't know whose because they say they don't know whose cocaine it was, is for sure evidence that they know whose cocaine it was. The fact that they say they don't know means they know. The name rhymes with Munter. Schmeiden, probably. They released these black and white photos of the little baggie. It's sitting in a staff locker identified by the number 50. And there's a lock, so apparently, I don't know. They found the cocaine in there. They took the pictures. I mean, it's also official. They even have the little measure. Did you see the little ruler? That's such theater. I'm sorry, but that's so theatrical. It's all theater. These images were only released because somebody filed a FOIA request. That's the only reason that they know how these images were released. Somebody filed a FOIA request. And that's how. So, whoo boy. I'm telling you, they know whose it is. They know whose cocaine that was. Schmunter Biden. That's what it was. All right, we've got, coming up, let me tell you what we have. Crime. We got a lot of crime. Did you hear the story about this Las Vegas teenager who was beaten to death by a mob? And I don't think there's been any arrests so far. It's all on camera. It's one of the most awful things ever. We're going to discuss that. Also, Biden had some public events yesterday. None of them went well. None of them at all. And speaking of the administration, there's still an Iranian mole that's in the White House. Why is that not being discussed? Is anybody asking Jake Sullivan about that? I'm very curious. We've got that to get into. We're also going to talk. Our friend John Rich is going to be joining us later on in the program. So we have a lot of stuff to hit today. So have you ever browsed in incognito mode? It's probably not as incognito as you think. And why would it be? I mean, incognito mode, like the Chrome browser itself, is Google product. And Google has made its fortune by tracking your movements online. There's even a $5 billion class action lawsuit against the company in California, where it's accused of secretly collecting user data. Now, Google's defense is that incognito does not mean invisible. So how do you actually make yourself as invisible as possible online? Well, you use ExpressVPN. Turns out that even in incognito mode, your online activity still gets tracked and data brokers still get to buy and sell your data. One of those data points is your IP address. Data harvesters use your IP to uniquely identify you and your location. So if you really want to go incognito and protect your privacy, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Dana. Visit expressvpn.com/Dana to learn more.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I'm really confused, guys. I was told that walls do not work. Repeatedly, in fact. But except in San Francisco, ahead of the communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping's visit, guys, they've erected a huge steel wall downtown to increase security for his visit. The wall, a big giant steel mesh wall. The word is security. Yeah. I was told that these don't work. So they have a giant racist structure in downtown San Francisco. It's just a monument to racism that's there. And it's U.S. taxpayer money. So can I just also add the additional sting of U.S. taxpayer money is being used to protect the safety of a communist that hates us and sent a bunch of spy balloons over and is being shady all out in the South China Sea. Just want to establish that. We may come back to that. All right, so that's first up. We do not deserve dogs. A Colorado hiker who is missing since August, according to CBS, they found him and his dog. His dog was found alive next to his body. 71-year-old Rich Moore, who has been missing since, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around this, August 19th. He was found on October 30th, and his dog was found alive by his side. They said that he and his dog had gone missing. The sheriff said that his body was found, and his white Jack Russell Finney was next to the body. That dog lasted that long out there? That's wild. And also, how loyal. Oh, my heavens. And then they said that this is the third time a dog has been found alive next to a hiker's body just since last year. In May of last year, a Labrador was found next to the body of a 74-year-old Arizona man who had collapsed during a hike. And then before that, another dog had left a 29-year-old hiker's body, his side, for 2 weeks. We just don't deserve dogs. They're so great. Apparently, keeping secrets is good for you. I feel like this is sketchy, right? They said that there's a study that's saying that hiding positive news makes you feel more energized and alive, according to a study. I just feel like this is sketch. They said that whether it's engagement, new job, lottery win, keeping secrets could actually brighten your day. You know why? People are shady. That's why. People out there are shady as all get out. They looked at 2,500 shady people to take part in this shady study. And they did these experiments and they said, oh yes, when people had a good news secret, they were very excited to keep it. Okay, that's not the same. It's not the same measure. Now there's another stupid study that's done by demon communists that says why pets don't bring humans happiness and they don't improve their well-being. Did a cat write this? Did a cat do this study? I feel like a cat did this study. We're just going to gloss over it because I don't care. All right, we have more in store. This beautiful march that's taking place in D.C. We also have crime. Oh, my goodness. 2024, you don't want to miss. Stick with us. Back in just a second. The only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. They are bringing you fabulous nationwide coverage that is affordable, more affordable than what you're paying now. And the cool thing with Patriot Mobile is that they employ U.S.-based customer service folks. And so that means you're creating and maintaining additional U.S.-based jobs. So they've been the only Christian conservative wireless provider for the past decade. If you haven't made the switch, give them a call and let them show you how easy it is to switch. They have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service. When you switch, you're helping to protect the things that you vote to protect at the ballot box. You can keep your phone. You can keep your number. You can get brand new ones. The choice is entirely yours. And you get free activation using code Dana. It's a company whose values are aligned with yours on every issue. And it's a company that is creating U.S.-based jobs and also putting that momentum behind what you vote for at the ballot box. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana today or call 972-PATRIOT. And mention offer code Dana because that'll get you that free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT. Switch today.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This moving forward and making sure, we just talked about the supplemental, the national security supplemental, and making sure Israel has what it's need, Ukraine has what it needs. Let's not forget, they are dealing with terrorism and tyranny. That's what they're dealing with. They're dealing with an organization like...
Tyranny, Kane. It's the tyranny of it. The tyranny of it all. What is that? tyranny. We're just going to roll with it. Tyranny. I mean, it's probably worse than tyranny. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Listen coast to coast. You can stream us. You can check in as well on the simulcast, which you can find on YouTube, Facebook, and Channel 347 DirecTV. I have to tell you, so I was asking a friend of mine, because she says, so you have KJP saying tyranny. And I've heard this a couple of times. Got it from our LA affiliate. Super sweet people. And a friend of mine had said this. So I asked one of my friends who lives in Los Angeles. She's actually, I think she listens through our affiliate there. And she's Jewish and she'll be brutally honest with me because I can talk super fast. And I also say correctly, pillow and milk, because that's how it's said.
Correctly.
And if you disagree with me, I'm sorry about your communism. And I will say Warsh because there is an R in there. It just is not evidenced in the spelling of it. And I think I just, because I was talking so fastly, because someone, and I asked my friend, I accidentally left caps lock on, so it looked so much more aggressive than it was. And I go, do I say kibbutz wrong? And she says, you say it too fast, is what she said. It's, the emphasis is on boots, kibbutz. But I'm just like, pillow, milk, kibbutz, you know, throw it all out there. Just so you know, I am a horrible French speaker. I can get my way around in Italian, just enough. I can ask for food and help. You know, I can just, you know, the most important things. I only know dirty words in German, and I don't know which ones they are. Don't ask. Everything sounds dirty, though. And I know I just know a little bit about certain languages, like, you know, French is the most. But I speak Ozark fluently, so it's milk, pillow, warsh. And I just apply it to everything out there. Kibbutz, we'll just say it like that. We'll throw it all out there, too. No, it's kibbutz. But I just talk so fast. So if that confused you, that's probably why. I have to slow myself down on air, and sometimes I sound like I'm talking like this in my head because I'm in my mind, I'm like 1,000 miles ahead of what I'm saying. So I'm trying to keep up, but I do speak. I could be an auctioneer. I really could actually be an auctioneer.
I'd like to see that.
Dude, I could do all the Micro Machine Guy stuff when I was little. I could absolutely do that. I used to call my mom at work and just like motor mouth through
it.
Whatever
happened to that guy?
He's dead.
Oh, thanks.
Those were great toys, Micro Machines. Are we sure I he's loved dead? Micro Machines. Maybe not. Don't trust me.
Why would you say that if you don't even know?
Because he was old when I was a kid. Old people when I was a kid generally are dead now. That's kind of how that works, right? Kane's like shocked at the cycle of life. Oh my gosh. Look what you're doing to our audience. They're just like, what happened here? Our simulcast people are going to be crying. They're going to be all depressed now. Anyway, that was KJP saying tyranny. And I will try to catch myself, but I talk so fast. I will ignore all emphasis on any syllable. I will just... And I'm not going to stop saying warsh. So I can also please stop sending me mail about that, too.
From what I can tell, the Micro Machines guy's still alive. What if he's listening?
Did you just Google that?
What if he's listening right now?
I love him. I'm a huge fan of his work. I don't know these things. Look, dude, I have X amount of space in my head for information for the day. Okay? It's like your day bag. And I got to pack stuff in it. Like, I got to remember things, like, slow down when I'm saying kibbutz. See, I'm, like, trying to run through it again. I'm trying to slow myself down. Stop saying warsh. It's pillow. Golly, when I have to do the my pillow reads, I die because I can't say pillow because the salespeople are like, stop saying it. That's not even a product. I can't help it. Pillow. Anyway, sidebar. When I was little, they sent me to speech class. Do you know that? Because my twang was so thick.
Seriously?
Oh, dude.
I never knew this.
Oh, my gosh. They sent me to speech class. Festus Elementary, y'all. Wow. They sent me to speech class. And they're like, well, y'all, you can't say y'all all the time and yins ain't a word. And they were like, why does she make one-syllable things like multi-syllabic? I can't help it. So it's just ingrained. Bear with me. Okay? I'm working real hard. I love you. I'm not going to stop saying warsh, though. It's never going to happen. All right, because last thing, because when I say wash, I sound like a jackass. I do. Wash? Who says that?
Are you doing a duck impression?
No.
It sounds like you're doing a duck impression.
I swear to you, I'm not. It sounds like I'm trying to be fancy.
Wash. It's just
wash. Can you imagine? I feel like I gotta have a fake accent to do that. All right, all right, all right, all right. Here we go. I'm just weird. It's my bad. It's me. It really is me. Yeah, my friend was like, she caps locked me back. You're saying it too fast, is what she said, because she can hear me. I've known her forever. God love her. But I was like, okay, I'm gonna ask my dear Jewish friend, am I saying kibbutz wrong? She's like, you're saying it too fast. I didn't mean to be so aggressive. Sorry. Sorry, yes. I didn't mean to be so aggressive with the caps lock. All right, so let's get to some of this other stuff so you can make stop making fun of how I say pillow. Because we have the march that's happening. I think easy. I think just the aerial photos is at least 100,000 people out there. Maybe the crime is going to go away, though, because there's been, I said yesterday, what did I say yesterday? That there were 700 something carjackings the year in D.C.? Okay, there it's actually more than that. It's like 860. Oh. Yeah, so apparently I was going, my figures were just a couple of months old. There's been a couple hundred more carjackings. Steve, you're in D.C. How do you deal? You just don't even want to have a car because it'll be disappeared by the city.
I mean, I do have a car and I drive to work every day and I do park on the street. So I I just knock on wood for my stars that I'll be okay. I do have a
do you think when you go out, are you like, boy, I hope my car's there?
Well, it's usually there. I just hope there's nothing. I mean, I've gotten carjacked once, but that was like,
what? Was just stop everything. What do you mean you've been carjacked?
Not me
once?
Personally. I showed up to my window shattered. That was like 3 years ago, though.
Okay, that's not a carjacking then.
Oh, well.
Right. I was like, oh my gosh, Steve, I already had it in my head that you valiantly fought off a carjacker.
Hell
no.
Here
to tell the tale. And you're like, no, my window was shattered. Okay, this is somebody just trying to break in your car. You had, I mean, not that we wanted you to be in danger, but we thought we were going to get a grade A story here. And we're glad that you're safe, though.
No, I pay for
golly.
I pay for collision and glass, so I'm okay.
Oh my gosh. That's
comprehensive. That's good stuff.
Jeez, that's terrifying. Yeah, there's 860. I think it's like actually 863. Oh my gosh. This isn't insane. This is so crazy. The crime that's there. So I want everyone to be safe. I don't want all these people getting carjacked because they showed up to the march. Oh my word. Now, the other thing too, yesterday we were discussing the Al-Shifa hospital and how Hamas, everybody knows, and I've known this. I do not style myself as a Middle East expert. I do not. I know what I know because I'm an informed tax-paying citizen, and it is my duty because I want to know where my tax dollars go, right? Everybody knows that Hamas is at a headquarters under Al-Shifa Hospital forever. And we've known this because it is just bat-crap insane that a terror group has a headquarters beneath a hospital. That's why everybody knows this. In 2014, Amnesty International, if you get my newsletter over at Substack, you have this link. Amnesty International did a story on people that had been found alive after torture sessions at their headquarters at where? Al-Shifa Hospital. They just show up in the emergency room. I mean, I'm not making light of this, but Hamas being a terror group, I mean, when you're done torturing your people, you know, you send them right up, right? Send them right up to the morgue or the ER. I mean, one of the two. It's kind of convenient, I guess, for them. But everybody has known that they have had this headquarters there forever, ever. Again, like I said, Amnesty International 2014, they had a story of like a handful. Actually, I'm going to pull this up. They had a story of like a handful of these captives of Hamas that all they were tortured for days beneath the hospital. And then one of them actually was in the morgue. And then the others went ahead and they got, they were in the ER. So it's like this is just kind of baffling. It is incredible. This is wild that people acted like they didn't know, right? I mean, the piece that came out, Hamas is killing people at its hospital HQ. That's the story. They've used schools, hospitals, mosques as critical storage. By the way, there was one link in here, The Mirror, British paper. They had their reporter go in This is someone who is with the mirror. Because, and I say this because you get these morons out there that are like, everything's from the IDF. No, they're not. See, here's the thing. You know how you have journalists there covering? They actually have journalists that are covering what is happening. Totally not like the Hamas terror supporters that said that they were journalists and they were riding on the back of Hamas bikes holding grenades. No, this is actually like a British reporter who is there. They stumbled around. They went in, like, what, they were one of the people that found the kindergarten room that was loaded with like rockets and armaments. And they have even noted, everybody knows this has been used as a terrorist base forever. Everybody knows this. Like, they have tons. They can pinpoint how many times they've launched rockets from the roof of the hospital. I mean, you know this stuff. They have receipts because there's surveillance on this. This is crazy. But this has been, Israel's been accused of depriving the hospital of electricity. Like, the New York Times had this piece where they said that patients were dying because of a lack of power at Gaza's main hospital. And so Israel goes, okay, well, we'll give you fuel to operate generators so that you can have power. So this is what spokesperson for the Hamas Health Ministry, which is ironically named, they said, and this is a direct quote, taking this fuel would give Israel credit for allowing fuel into Gaza. Yeah. Okay, so here's a question, though. Why wouldn't Hamas provide this electricity? I mean, they're beneath the hospital. Why wouldn't they just provide it? Huh? You can't sit here and pick a fight with someone and then demand that they attend all of your needs while you're still picking a fight with them. That's not how this works. But they wouldn't allow Israel, who offered to send additional resources. They rejected it because they didn't like that it made Israel look nice. I'm not even kidding you. That's literally out of the lips of the spokesperson for Hamas's health ministry. That is insane. So screw them babies, I guess. They didn't want none of them babies in there to get any. I mean, that's what they're doing. Israel has the Iron Dome. Hamas has the Human Dome. They use people as their shield. I mean, Hamas could have moved the babies for some reason. They didn't want to. They could have not even started this, but, you know, that's apparently not an option. Why don't the rich Hamas leaders that are living a life of luxury in Qatar, why don't they help with resources? Why not? I mean, seriously, how many more Israelis have to die? How many more Jewish babies have to be kidnapped before these commie trust fund progressives around the world ask Hamas, why do you use innocents as human shields? The Iron Dome versus the Human Dome. That's the point. We have more on the way. We also have Days of These United States coming up. Our really good friends over at the Headrest Safe. I think, you know, everybody does this. They like, you know, you do a treat yourself for Christmas, the Christmas season, right? So, you know, maybe get you a Headrest Safe and then gift a Headrest Safe to someone, because it is an epic, epic Christmas gift. Now, here's the thing. The Headrest Safe is an absolute, you know, absolutely revolutionary when it comes to securing your stuff in your vehicle. And it was designed as a gun safe. In fact, Concealed Carry Magazine gave it their Editor's Choice Award for innovation and best-in-class vehicle safes. Now, everybody, I think you should have one, simply because whether you're going to the game, whether, you know, whatever it is, sometimes, you know, you gotta have to leave your gun in your car. I don't do the lock, glove box, and all that stuff. This, nobody even knows what it is. A lot of them are very easy to spot if you know what you're looking for. Not with this. I mean, yes, it's called the Headrest Safe, but it blends seamlessly with your car's interior. You get super quick access. You can get to your stuff in 2.5 seconds. There's a magnetic access door, a user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. It has the keypad, the hard key, the whole nine yards. And it is undetectable. It's for the passenger side headrest, so it doesn't interfere with anything on the driver's side. And it locks in with this deployable toggle bolt. It's actually easy to install, but it ain't going nowhere after you install it. I mean, it replaces your existing headrest. They can match the material of your car's seat. In fact, they can match like precisely over 80% of the stuff that's out there. And it is just a 100% peace of mind. It's super smart, super useful. Use it for your firearm. Use it for anything that you want to keep out of eyesight and you want to keep protected, whether it's your medication, jewelry, whatever, your cash. For a limited time, the Headrest Safe bundle price has been reduced by $100. And with code Dana, you can save an additional $50. Enjoy peace of mind. You can find it at theheadrestsafe.com. Use code Dana for an exclusive $50 off. That's theheadrestsafe.com, code Dana for $50 off. The Headrest Safe, transforming the way we protect valuables and vehicles with a 100% money-back guarantee.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Like he's self-made. Sir, I wish he was in the truck with me when I was building my plumbing company. Myself and my wife was running the office because I sure remember working pretty hard and long hours. Pretends like he's self-made. What a clown. Fraud. Always has been, always will be. Quit the tough guy act and these Senate hearings. You know where to find me. Any place, any time, cowboy. Sir, this is a time, this is a place. If you want to run your mouth, we can be two consenting adults. We can finish it here.
Okay, that's fine. Perfect.
You want to do it now?
I'd love to do it right now.
Well, stand your butt up then.
You stand your butt up.
Oh, hold on. Oh, stop it.
Is that your solution, every poll?
No, no, sit down. Sit down.
Okay.
You know, you're a United States Senator. Sit down.
Active.
Oh, okay. Sit down, please.
All right. Can I respond?
Hold it. If we can, no, I have the mic. I'm sorry.
This is what he said.
You'll have your time.
Okay.
Can I respond?
Oh, no, you can't. This is a hearing.
So, dude. All right. So this is what's up. My goodness. So this was the Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. He is calling out a labor leader. He read the labor leader's tweet. Said it, what, when he called him cowboy. And that was what that guy, the labor leader, who was sitting there in the hearing, that is what he had tweeted. And so Senator Mullen was calling him out. He read it and then he was like, stand your butt up. You stand your butt up. Oh my gosh. And then he proceeded to stand his butt up. So, and then you had Bernie Sanders, who is like, I'm going to pull this car around. I'm going to pull it over. And he leans in. He's just done. He had to be Grandpa Bernie for a minute. I mean, now what Kane brought to mind is that had this been in Texas, they could have agreed to the mutual combat law in Texas. I don't know if you knew. Dueling is legal here. Yeah. I love this Republic of Texas. God bless Texas. Dueling's legal. The law states that if people who feel like they got to fight, they can agree, but it through a signed verbal or implied communication, it's only fists, though. They say now it's only fists. That's the original post. And law enforcement's got to let you go, apparently. Yep. And there's no takesies, backsies. Nope. So if you get your butt whoopsies, then you got to take your beating. That's right. So that's a mutual combat law. I don't know. I mean, that got real near. That was like very Charles Sumner-esque there. Y'all remember that when he was a pro-abolitionist and he was attacked by a pro-slavery Democrat? That's what the union leader who's sitting there like talking smack. He's kind of like the guy, and Mark Wayne Mullen's like Sumner. So very interesting. I don't know. They could have a mutual combat law, like in Texas. We have our whole second hour on the way, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to miss this. Stick with us. If you want strong coffee that wakes you up in the morning, you need Black Rifle Coffee. If you want some strong coffee, it's going to put some hair on your chest, even if you're a woman, maybe not. Then you're going to want some Black Rifle Coffee. Everything else just tastes like sadness. It tastes like sadness and defeat. So you want a winning coffee, that's Black Rifle Coffee. Unlike the other people out there, they actually roast their own beans. They don't have they don't import the roasted beans and then white label it and pretend they do it themselves. They actually do it themselves. And they've been also raising a lot of money to benefit vets through the boot campaign, $1 million to be precise, through the ready to drink coffee. So they have the ready to drink coffee cans. You can get them as 12 packs as part of the coffee club. Coffee club, by the way, is the best way to drink coffee. If you love coffee, you're going to want to be part of the coffee club because you get your selected roast or roasts, if you like, you know, more than one. You can choose how often you want it delivered, and then you get free shipping. I mean, you can't go wrong at all with the coffee club. It's awesome. And every can of that ready-to-drink coffee contributes to making, goes all to that that $1 million donation to veterans through the boot campaign. The boot campaign focuses on really customized care to our vets who are coming back from combat, and they treat the invisible wounds of war, post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, chronic pain, all of it. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community. With your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Last year alone, natural disasters in America caused $178 billion in damages. They hit everyone, no matter where, what their circumstances, but they hit the most vulnerable the hardest. Seniors, people with disabilities, people experiencing homelessness who have nowhere to turn.
What is that? I'm experiencing homelessness. What is these phrases? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen terrestrially, coast to coast. You can watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. That's the president who just took the short stairs to get on the plane to go meet Xi Jinping. By the way, speaking of which, because they're in San Fran, apparently a Czech TV crew were robbed at gunpoint while covering the APEC summit in San Fran. That's an actual thing that happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just play that on your table. So his experiencing homeless phrase is, I find fascinating. It's a fascinating thing because I don't even, what is he trying? You are homeless. What do you mean experiencing it? We're just experiencing stuff. Like me and my friends, we're just like experiencing things, stuff. It's crazy. He says that people who are homeless are hit hardest by the weather. It's people who are barefoot hate Legos. People who are hungry are most affected when there is no food around. Like, can we just say some really obvious things right now?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Experiencing homelessness. I am experiencing his stupidity right now. We're all like experiencing stuff. They make it sound like it's like a bougie thing. I'm experiencing, this is an experience that we have. What? Stop. There was also more though. He had a giant teleprompter, audio soundbite 20. I mean, just giant. And struggled even with us. Listen.
Think about that. The hottest we've ever recorded in history. It's an impact the decades are making because there was inaction for much too long. Mm-hmm. Look, but we're acting now. We have been acting. Mm-hmm. We've come to the point where it's foolish for anyone to deny the impacts of climate change anymore.
Words. I'm just going to read the words. I'm just going to read them all on the screen. Wow, man. And it's like he's one of those dudes who thinks if you squint more, it becomes clearer.
I don't think people understand. His teleprompter is as large as that screen behind you.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
It's giant.
It's like a Jerry's Dome size. Like that screen in the middle of the field is like that big. And he's still on the struggle bus, dude. He's still on the struggle bus. Golly. We're all going to be on the struggle bus, apparently. So Macy's, their Thanksgiving Day parade is marred in controversy already. We can't have nice things. It's because of the turkey twinks. It's invasion of the turkey twinks. It's what we have. 70,000 people have signed a petition because why do people got to do? They have the parade people. They're having two people who are crotch deniers in their lineup. It's stolen from Kane. They call themselves gender nonconforming. You're a crotch denier. Yep. They're a gender nonconforming. I don't know why they feel the need to like push that in the parade. I don't know, but they do. So there are two. Of course, it's Broadway. There's one dude who is a crotch denying singer, who is a dude, and uses all the pronouns. You don't get all the pronouns, okay? Because it says he uses he, she, they pronouns. What the hell is even that? No, you get one. You don't get all of them, okay? You get one. And then they have another dude who is a crotch denier, wants to be a chick, and uses also all the pronouns. No, this is not correct. We're not using all the pronouns. And they look like dudes. They look exactly like what you think dudes would look like with makeup on. There it is. So I just don't understand why, like, one of them has a song and the lyrics are, quote, I won't change who I've always been. A-W-O-M-A-N. A-W-O-M-A-N. M-A-N. Well, you have a P-N-I-S, so you are not a W-O-M-A-N. Crash deniers. It's a whole movement of them. So why do you got to push that in the Thanksgiving Day parade? Why? Why do you got to push it? Why do you got to push this in the Thanksgiving Day parade? Great question. It is complete. Can you just let America have something without trying to be obnoxious about it? Can you just let America have something without pushing some twinkery or something? Like, let people enjoy the day. They get up and they start the baking and the cooking of the turkey, and they just want the parade on in the background without someone who is there because of what they pretend is in between their legs. Please stop. Can we just have a nice day? That's all I want. Is that hard? I feel like Catherine O'Hara right now in Beetlejuice. If you don't let me express myself the way that I want to, I will go crazy and I will take you all with me. Same thing. You know, like the days when you would have the Rockettes out there, you know, kicking their legs. And when you did all that, when you had all of that out there, right? Like, and then it was just like Santa and it's Thanksgiving and, you know, Snoopy and no Twinks and all of that. We don't have to Studio 54 the Thanksgiving Day parade. We don't have to. Do you watch the parade, Kane? No. Oh, I have it on.
If I watch, I'm always cheering and hoping for one of those giant balloons to get away from them.
Not going to lie.
You know what I mean? That's kind of what it's like when you watch racing. And you just want to see the crashes, kind
That's so horrible. I want to see someone almost die.
Well, no. I mean, that's why people watch. That's the excitement.
I just think it'd be funny to watch a balloon fly away.
Right.
It'd be hysterical. Someone like,
hanging on for dear life.
Like up. maybe just like tie. You know where I was going with my train of thought. You guys understand. Yeah. I love that. That's we only have the old school stuff, like the old school, you know, the Thanksgiving. I'm used to, this is how we do Thanksgiving. You have the Thanksgiving Day parade while you're cooking and preparing the food, and then you eat, and then it's TBS used to have. Is TBS a thing anymore? When I was a kid, it was TBS. I don't even know what the hell it stood for. Is it? But they would have a Christmas story. Was it during Christmas or Thanksgiving? Because technically it's a Christmas story, but it starts before Thanksgiving.
Right. I think both.
Yeah. And so that was on like 24/7. It was on for a full 24 hours and you had to have it on. And at Grandma and Grandpa's house, they had it on. You weren't allowed to touch it until at least it cycled twice after everyone ate. And then you're allowed to watch football. Then you could turn it. And then after that, everybody's in the backyard freezing their butts off at the picnic table. Or if it's that cold, they take over the dining room table in my grandparents' little tiny house and they play dominoes. So that's how it went. So that was how every Thanksgiving went. And so I'm just saying, like, let's go back old school. Let's do old school, right? Let's have a non-agenda pushing Thanksgiving Day parade. We'll watch 24/7, watch a couple rounds of A Christmas Story, football, and then dominoes. That's what we should be doing. I don't want to have somebody up there who's pretending to be a chick. And we're like, we see the lump in your neck. That's your Adam's apple. Okay? We don't need to be nuts. We don't need that. You look like a dude who just has nicely applied makeup. But you still look like a dude. Dudes look like dudes, dude. They do. It's just the way it is.
Okay? Do they still play It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, I hate that movie.
What?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Yeah. No, you hate that movie?
How yeah, because it's depressing. Sometimes I'm like, just quit bitching already and
that
jump.
That movie's not depressing.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't.
Uh-huh.
It's uplifting.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you thinking of a different movie?
That's the one where the little girl's like, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Wow.
Makes me want to rip all the bells off the tree.
I can't believe it.
Look, I only go so far with sentiment, man. All right? Then I'm like, shut up. I just can't. Then it ruins me. I'm ruined, right?
It's a classic.
It can be a classic all it wants to. It's just overwrought.
Oh, man.
And I love...
Get you screwed.
Nothing about that movie. I'm not going to lie.
Your way into Thanksgiving.
I'm not... Now, I love the old school... what's the one? Old Man, the Three Ghosts. Can't remember. No, I don't remember. Oh, yeah, Miracle on 34th Street. Oh, my gosh. Whoa, hold up. You just missed the most important part of the day, Steve, after prayers and thank you, Lord. Dog show. Now, a Frenchie won it last year. There's a French bulldog that won Best in Show at the Westminster Dog Show last year. I'm all about the dog show because I like to pretend they're all mine. And I'm like, that's my dog. And I'd name him this. All my dogs I'd name Billy. Like, my goal is to get a Dachshund and name it Billy. That's my new thing.
My dog is so well-behaved on TV.
Yeah, look at my dogs on TV. Look at all their all winners. Right? I love it. Wait, Steve just adds this in Slack. First off, he teased us about being carjacked, and he wasn't. And then he says his aunt was in the dog show once. Was she a handler?
Yeah.
What? Why else would you be?
Well, it takes.
Because you could be an owner.
Yeah, my,
that's not her being in it, though.
She breeds them, yeah. She's passed away, but she was in the one, I think, 10, 15 years ago. She did. She has border collies, and it takes place in Pennsylvania where my family lives, and so she got that far up in the ranks that year.
That's amazing. That I would have a belt buckle made with that and be like, I was in the dog show. I would totally do that. That is so cool. That is so awesome. Dog handlers are like mysteries, man. They're just like magical people. They get dogs to do things that it takes normal people 5,000 years to train their dog to do. All right. I know we got to get it rolling because we got some. Do we want to jump on the landmine that's 2024? We want to just skedaddle because there's another debate. God help us. There's another debate. Are you guys so excited? If you're watching the simulcast, this is my excited face. I'm so excited about the debate. I couldn't be more excited. Can you hear the excitement in my voice? Gee, I can't wait. We'll get into all of that. There's so much. There's more joy to be had.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, you were missing the off-air conversation, y'all. That's all I'm going to say. All right, scientists are saying, parents, maybe you don't need to give all your little kids melatonin. 1 in 5 kids and preteens are taking it to aid their sleep, when really they just need a reduction of screen time before they go to bed. Now, I get it if you're, like, super busy or if you're, like, going through where you're having, you know, insomnia or something. I get it. It's a naturally produced melatonin, blah, blah, blah. But they said that 1,000 parents they did the survey in the first half of the year. They said that almost 20% of parents with kids 5 to 9 years old have given their kids melatonin. Why are you giving your 5-year-old melatonin? Like, just reduce the screen time, right? Develop a routine. I say this as a kid that had to have that done because I was wired like 24/7. So, yeah, I know. My mom needs retroactive prayers for that time. But 5 to 9, like everybody, they said they given their kids melatonin kind of like regularly every 30 days or something to that extent. That's wild. New York City's fleet of electric Uber, Lyft, and Revel cars have grown. And there's fears about a rising charging network that's not going to meet the demand. Wow, really? You think that if you have more electric cars that you think that it may not meet the demand? It's almost like we could have told you. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we absolutely did. They said of the 78,000 cars authorized as app-based rideshares, roughly 2,200 are EVs. And they said they're struggling with just that much. They're struggling with the net with just that much. Airlines are predicting a record Thanksgiving U.S. holiday travel. Woo-hoo-hoo. They said that TSA are expecting records being set and broken over Thanksgiving holiday air travel. They said that they saw, like, last year it was up 9% over the year prior. And they said that in the 12-day period ending on November 28th, they think they're going to screen 30 million passengers. It's going to be the busiest ever one-day screening during that period. Ooh, boy. Goodness. I know. Thanksgiving shutdown, though, is going to set up some nightmare scenario travels. The government is days away from a shutdown on November 18th, and that could afford that. I mean, you could see TSA interruptions. They said about 5 million people are expected to fly, and that the shutdown that was because Democrats can't agree to spend money wisely. That's getting set up. We're going to follow that. And scientists say there may have been, oh, for the love, a second Big Bang. Yeah. Okay. Could explain a lot. Yeah. They can't even explain the first one. Shut up and sit down. Blah, blah, blah. They said Big Bang, blah, blah, no scientific consensus, blah, 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 bop. That's the story. That's it. And there's your news. There's your news. You're more informed than you were prior, weren't you? I got another one for you. There was a California middle schooler who he was wearing eye paint like his favorite football players. and they accused him of being in blackface. That's an actual thing. And I mean, it's very clearly football paint. Some moron didn't know what it was. So coming up, our friend John Rich is going to join us. He's got a new song out, and we're going to talk some smack. So, you know, stick around. We got a lot more coming up. More of The Dana Show.
Well, he was one of the millions who signed up to defend us long ago in 1941. And when they sucker punched us in Pearl Harbor.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I love his guitar tone in that track. I love the way that all sounds, but that guitar tone, that's so warm and just so, it's just awesome. That's a new track called The Man from our very good friend, John Rich. You know him, obviously, big and rich. Founder of Redneck Riviera, Old Glory Bank. I mean, he's got the bar, he's got the money, he's got the music, he's got the, I mean, he's a platinum music factory, I mean, for the love. And he joins us via Skype from Nashville. Good to see you, my friend. God bless you. I love I mean, I like all the stuff that you do. I mean, I really do enjoy your work. I mean, you got me into country music. You really did. You and Waylon got me into country music. I love the tone on. I love the way the guitar sounded. I mean, this is a beautiful track, The Man, and it's about your grandfather who served in World War II. I mean, here we're on the heels of Veterans Day, going into Thanksgiving, the holiday, and you had a veteran from every major conflict that was in this video. How long did this concept take to pull off?
Yeah, so wrote the song, like you said, about my grandfather, and it, you know, it dawned on me that every American has somebody's picture hanging in their house, or it's in an old one of those old grandma style photo books of your grandfather, your great grandfather. That served in these wars. And so I wanted to write a song called The Man. So The Man to me, yeah, it's my granddaddy, but The Man to you is somebody in your family. Mm. And so this song was meant to honor all of them and remind Americans whose shoulders we stand on, what true American greatness really does look like, because that's why they call them the greatest generation. So in this video, yes, I was able to gather together veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraqi Freedom, and Desert Storm, all in the same room. The three World War II guys that you'll see in the video, you can find it on Rumble, find it on YouTube. Two of them were over 100 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And the guy that was the oldest, he was 102, served in the Army. I said, well, sir, if you ever were called to defend your country again, would you be willing to do it? And he looked at me and he says, well, I'm not too mobile, but I can still shoot.
There you go.
That was his answer.
I love it.
And you could just see that fire up in that old man just at the thought of having a chance to defend his country or fight for his country. That's why I put the song out. Yeah, I felt it was time to put that one out.
Tell me a little bit about your grandfather's service as well, because I feel like everybody, especially in our generation, everybody has, it's all our grandparents served. I mean, we had grandparents in our family in one side of the world and the other side of the world. One was on the beaches of Normandy and the other was in the Pacific on the USS Alabama. And it is amazing how that's like a common thread throughout so many in our generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same in my family. So the granddaddy that I wrote the song about, he was in the Pacific. He actually lied about his age.
Yep.
Got in when he was 17. You got to think back then, you know, these guys at a 17-year-old kid, they were not kids at 17 in the late 30s, early 40s. They were grown-ass men.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were tough. They were ready to go. And he was so upset about all the dead bodies that were coming back to his hometown in Glasgow, Kentucky, that he said, I got to go. I mean, I got to get over there. And so he got in and he went over. He was hooked on morphine for 2 years when he got back home. You know, they didn't have any PTSD. Yeah. Was alive and well back then, too. You know, my other grandfather served in fighting the Nazis. He lived to be 81, and he actually committed suicide from his PTSD in his 80s.
Wow.
Okay? They never got over it. He got to sleep in a separate bedroom from my grandmother from the time he came back from the war till the day he died. So wow. These people, they are the reason we still have a country to even argue about at this point in 2023. And I think because especially our young people in this country, Dana, are so far removed from the greatest generation. They don't know anybody that fought in that war. They've never been around anybody that was alive then. To them, it's just like something in a history book. They have no real touchstone to it. So this song was my attempt at putting you in the moment of what it was like for a guy in that time period to sign up and go fight for his country.
And it's a beautiful song. We're talking to our good friend John Rich, and you can find his track, The Man, all over the internet as well. You know, I want to ask you about, I love the Veterans Day and Thanksgiving are always right by each other. We're getting ready to roll into Thanksgiving. We were just having a conversation about the Thanksgiving Day parade, how, you know, I grew up in my grandparents' little tiny house in the Ozarks. I grew up watching that. My grandma would wake up early in the morning, and as soon as I'd hear the announcers as a little kid, I knew, oh, pies are going in the oven. Like, I knew I got to get out there and help. And I grew up with it, but it's kind of changed. Like, I can't even have it. We don't have any little kids in our house anymore, but I wouldn't be able to have it on, I think, the way that it is now, and especially with some of the agenda that they're pushing. Do you think that society misses that nostalgia? I wonder that, because it seems like the outrage at this stuff, there's like a petition about some of this, like 17,000 signatures already. I kind of wonder, it sort of feels like the pendulum is swinging the other way, and people are just, maybe it's because things are so uncertain, they're craving nostalgia, they're craving some of that old school stuff. Do you get that same sense? Because you're right there on the tip of the arrow with that stuff, with culture mm-hmm. and entertainment.
Yeah, I think what people are craving is something concrete, something foundational, something that does not change. And when you see the world changing daily, day by day, and not for the better, and it gets further and further out there where you can't even let your kids watch network television anymore for fear of how they're going to be indoctrinated. I think people want to get back to the basics of God, family, country, leave my family alone. Let's make a pecan pie and watch the parade and the big balloons and have Thanksgiving and be an American. Yeah. And the further out we get from that, the more sick people get. Why do we have such a depression issue in our country right now? Because all the things that you could count on are being vilified and done away with. So the things that you can't count on that are constantly moving and morphing into whole new viruses, in my opinion, everybody's been infected with it. They're sick of it. So it's really up to us, though, Dana. In your house, you can still do it exactly how you want to do it. Amen. You can still cook your pie. You can still go out in the backyard and pitch horseshoes and build a campfire. You can still raise your kids like you want to. Just turn their nonsense off and get back to being a real American.
Amen to that. I got to ask you before I let you go, talking with our good friend John Rich, and you can find him on Twitter. You can also make sure you get that Redneck Riviera, which we have as part of our Thanksgiving. You know, you put a little cinnamon in that. You make it fall-esque. You can make it like a Thanksgiving drink. How do y'all celebrate Thanksgiving? What's a Rich family do?
Well, so my Granny Rich, who passed away in 2020, she was always the one. She'd be in there smoking Marlboros and frying chicken. She never really did the turkey thing.
That is old school.
It was fried chicken.
Yes.
I mean, standing over a cast iron skillet with an ash about that long, and she's in there flipping that chicken. So we have all of her recipes, so we all get together, and we recreate Granny's food as best as we can. Every Thanksgiving, we set a picture of her up by the stove there, and then we go out and shoot some skeet, and we build a little campfire, and we give thanks for our country and for our family and for our health and for all the things that we forget to give thanks about most every day. We still got a lot to be thankful for.
Amen to that. Well, it's a beautiful song. I love that you do this. I love that you honor these veterans and that you brought all of this in for a really beautifully done video. You've been busy because this is like the second real awesome video that you put out, what, like in 2 months? Like, you're like a factory. You're just, yeah. I mean, and they look so great. We're blessed to have you. We're blessed to have you out there fighting the good fight in the culture war, because that's really where it starts. John Rich, and you can find the song on Rumble. You can find it on YouTube. And the song is called The Man, the song in the video. Happy Thanksgiving to you, my friend. God bless you. Appreciate all that you do and have done on behalf of this country and our vets. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for always having my back.
Of course. You know it. You know it. Appreciate it. Talk to you again soon. Take care. We have more to come, folks. We're already at the bottom of this second hour. It is a great song, and it's a really beautifully done track. He made a really good point there too about the PTSD that a lot of these our grandparents had. I don't know if they dealt with it because they just never they dealt with it by never talking about it, because out of all of the older generation, like our grandparents' generation that I knew, everybody was in. I mean, literally everybody was in the war. They never spoke about it. The only time that my grandpa ever talked about it, and I recorded him, was after he had already gotten this terminal diagnosis, and he was explaining, because we found out when he was in the VA that he had been exposed to like a massive amount of radiation. Apparently it was fallout from one of the bombs at the end of World War II over in the Pacific. And it like morphed it. They like wrote this huge paper about him. He had like a very, it was terminal, but it was very long lasting. Terminal cancer is a very aggressive cancer, but yet at the same time, he just kind of had it. It ended up like changing. It was wild. But he never talked about it until then. And then he explained some of what he saw and what he experienced. He was a gunner on the USS Alabama. So he did the big old 50 cals that were there along the side. And that was without, I mean, imagine it, without ear pro, without eye pro. I mean, no wonder I think he was selectively hard of hearing, if I'm being honest. Like when he was done hearing you, he would turn you off. And when all the women would get together and cluck, 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 he'd just turn it off. But every now and then he'd hear and he'd weigh in on something. But he was always very gentle in nature and spirit. And he was an encourager, but he was very gentle. And I think that he really devoted himself more to that when he came back from the war. Not that he was ever a hellraiser, but I just from everything that I've heard from his siblings, you know, my great aunts and uncles, he really was a lot calmer, I think by choice, because of everything that he saw overseas. But man, it is just as a different generation. I'm so glad he did this. And like I said, you can find that all on social. You can find it YouTube Rumble as well. We got Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, what do people try to do? What do you think is going to happen here? All right, so a Florida man tried to dump fentanyl down the drain during a drug bust, say deputies. Daytona Beach. A man was arrested after he attempted to dispose of fentanyl down his kitchen sink during the execution of a search warrant. When Volusia County deputies arrived at the home, they found 42-year-old Eddie Shine. There's a drug dealer's name if ever I heard one. Eddie Shine. Trying to throw fentanyl down a sink. They've been investigating him for several months now, and they said he's involved for drug sales throughout the southeast Volusia County area. During the warrant execution, they found 38 grams of fentanyl, powdered fentanyl, in a kitchen cabinet, and along with fentanyl and a separate fentanyl and water mixture that was in the kitchen sink plumbing. He was charged with trafficking fentanyl, renting a structure for trafficking fentanyl, destruction of said fentanyl, because it's evidence, resisting arrest without violence, and possession of drug paraphernalia. His bond is over $2.5 million. Dang. I mean, what do you think you were going to do that they weren't going to find you getting trying to stuff that down the sink? Good grief. I have one of the grossest headlines that I'm not going to read here because it had to do with a guy on a public causeway being engaging in voyeuristic activities.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so we're just going to go past that one.
Thank you.
Oh, and I... okay, let me do this one. There's a... Just let me let you know, there's a lot in old naked Florida man headlines. Just can say there's like an inordinate amount of them right now. So this 68-year-old Florida man got naked in Naples. That's a horrible, horrible Hallmark movie. Threw his clothes into the bay and then led police in a pursuit and then ran into a restaurant, sat down naked at an empty table, then ran out of the restaurant, ran down the street, and then he finally got caught. He was busy. Yes. Stephen Grant Campbell. This sounds like a toddler avoiding a bath. This is what this sounds like, doesn't it? Except he's an old man and it's gross. He threw all his shoes and his clothes into Naples Bay. Officers saw it happen and they're like, stop, Florida man, stop. And he's like, no. So he ran to Bistro 821, took his seat all naked at an empty table. Ew, I hope they washed that chair. They said a witness says he literally, and then he didn't stop at the restaurant. He ran down the street where he paused briefly to expose himself to everybody at Fifth Avenue and 11th Street South. And then he kept running. And then the law finally caught up with him and he was charged with disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and cited for littering. I guess that's the clothes in the bay. The littering. Oh my gosh. I don't know. There's a Florida man with all gas, no brakes tattoo who was arrested after, guess what? Losing control of the car.
Wow.
I know. That's real shocking.
Surprise.
Yeah. Polk County, Florida, a man and a woman were arrested early yesterday morning. They were running from police. They crashed their car. Timothy Allen Hogue and Rebecca Kozub are suspects in a string of car burglaries. They were spotted in a small residential. They plowed right into this other vehicle. I mean, full speed. That's insane. They were spotted by deputies. They went off at a high rate of speed. Then they crashed right into a parked car. They had to be pulled from the wreck. But the guy had the on his neck. It was a neck tat right in the front. All gas, no brakes. They're totally in jail. As one might imagine, they're in jail. Let's see. This is a different fentanyl story. A Florida man was found with enough fentanyl to kill 60,000 people.
Whoa.
This is insane. That's 60,000. That's because it's like how many grams? There's like, I mean, I don't even. This
they're
is
like
a thousand.
Nanograms.
This guy
nanograms.
Had a, oof. This guy had 1,000 fentanyl pills. Esteban Perez Jr. He got pulled over the weekend. He failed to stop when he turned into a road. And as they were conducting the traffic stop, they're like, why do you smell like a bunch of pot plants all at once? And Collier County said that they conducted a search. They found 987 fentanyl pills, plus meth, synthetic cannabinoid, and all kinds of narcotic paraphernalia. Oh, my gosh. He's totally in jail. Totally in jail. And his bond's real high, too. Stick with us. Third hour on the way. Don't miss.
Also, we're very focused on the data we're collecting from surveillance efforts. What's being said on social media platforms. And we have launched an effort to be able to counter some of the negativity and reach out to people when we see hate speech being spoken about on online platforms. Our social media analysis unit has ramped up its monitoring of sites to catch incitement to violence, direct threats to others. And all this is in response to our desire, our strong commitment to ensure that not only do New Yorkers be safe, but they also feel safe.
So that is the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, who is announcing this new program, this online surveillance program, where citizens, anything that they post on social media is monitored. And they said that the point was to counter hatred. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can also check out the simulcast of the radio program on YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. How long have they spent? How many years has the government spent trying to gain control over speech, any kind of expression online? I mean, it feels like it's been a very long time now. And they have continually kept saying, oh, it's to keep you safe, whether it's from, terrorism. We got to keep you safe. This is all Patriot Act stuff. This is the stuff they did against the parents and school boards at school board meetings. Now they're trying to exploit the anti-Semitism that they turned a blind eye to, by the way. How long in New York did they turn a blind eye to this? I mean, do you remember, particularly during the lockdowns, I will never forget seeing the video of these government workers creeping around synagogues, peering into the windows to make sure no one was there worshiping, because they had a bit of an issue with the Orthodox community. That was what the reports were. I had this old article saying that it was the Orthodox community that were bucking the government regulations on lockdowns and activities with COVID and worship. And they were really targeting them. And they turned a blind eye to this for how long? Now they want to exploit it and say, no, we need to monitor this as a way to keep you safe. What did Ben Franklin say? That if you're willing to trade freedom for security, you deserve neither. That's not, do you honestly believe this? They're not going to, this is just, they're trying to exploit this as a way, the same people that turn a blind eye to it want to exploit this as a way for further control, not to keep anybody safe. They just want control. I mean, it's a First Amendment attack for sure. I mean, when they sit here and talk about hate speech, what do you mean hate speech? From the river to the sea? Because you people that are for government surveillance seem completely fine with that. You know, was it the people that were the same? When you talk about surveillance, you mean suspending people who were posting about the laptop story? Is it when people call Hamas terrorists? So I tweeted yesterday. I was very curious. And I told everybody on Instagram, because I knew that there was going to be a couple insufferable people on Instagram. Who was it? What was the joke? There was some account it was on Twitter. And they said, if you could visit any fictional world, where would you go? And I said, Palestine, because it is a fictional world. It's a fictional country. It is. And there are people out there who expect me to accommodate their false perception of the world, much in the same way that some people out there expect me to accommodate their false perception of what's between their legs. I will not be forced into either. It's a fake country. People act like it's, you know, supported by all these years of antiquity, and it's not. It's not even mentioned in the Quran. Aren't they mostly like Jordanians anyway? Like they're like people who came over. It was named by Hadrian after the Aquila and Judean uprising, and it was named Syria Philistina after a bunch of people from Crete. And Arabs were nowhere around for centuries. So stop. But I noticed that there were, I did have a couple of knuckleheads that were in the comments, but I told everyone, I said, if you leave me hateful comments, I'm going to exploit you for money. I will treat you as my digital prostitute, and I will make money off of your hate. I will monetize the hate, and then I will use the money that you earned for me, and I'll just donate it to the people who are buying the posters of all the kidnapped victims. So you'll literally, with your hate, you'll be buying posters. So just keep that in mind. Oh my gosh, they don't know what to do. It's just the rage. They don't know. They don't know which button to push. So there are a couple knuckleheads on there. I think I'll probably bring that back on Friday, mailbag. So it's true, though. I mean, I was looking at more media footage. They found this. So there was another, it's the Rantisi Hospital. And they found not just a ton of weapons, but they also found where they were apparently holding hostages. Now, you know that they have infants that they killed the babies. I mean, actual like infants, like can't walk on their own yet, infants. They killed the parents and they have some babies there, and they found bottles in this room. They found chairs where there were string around the legs. I mean, clearly people were tied up. All of this is online. And it is, I mean, they found a lot. And then, of course, there's tunnels and everything else. It is, it's pretty. And then there's people that, you know, want to deny this and act like, oh, well, two-state solution. We've got to have, like, people like, what is it? AOC, Audio Soundbite 8. I mean, she's still calling for diplomacy with a terrorist government. Listen to this.
Ceasefire means there is no military solution, only a diplomatic and cultural solution.
Oh, be quiet.
A relational solution. A reckoning with ourselves and our history. 75.
I like her better when she just stirring drinks. Ceasefire is what people who back terrorists say. Ceasefire, they don't, I mean, which you want? I mean, you got the people who are there chanting from the river to the sea, and then you got people chanting for sea. You can't have both. You can't have both. Both don't exist. And ceasefire is just it's a nothing burger phrase because you got an entity that doesn't want it. End of story. But this social media stuff with Kathy Hochul talking about all of this. Oh, my gosh. Notice how I don't think, does this actually apply to all of the people in her party that have gone out there and have said some pretty ignorant stuff? I mean, have said some pretty anti-Semitic things, not just that they disagree with Netanyahu or that they disagree with how Israel ran XYZ policy. No. Like they're like these Zion. It's like Zionist. There were slurs out there that I didn't even know existed. We are sheltered, Kane. We are wholesome. I didn't know what it was. I'm like, what is this? No, I'm not going to. But I'm like, I didn't know what. I mean, literally. I'm like, how old am I? And I didn't even, you know, I don't know any you know, Nazis. So, but that's how ignorant these people are. And I'm just wondering if she, and they're Democrats, like they're like, they have like hashtag Biden in their bios and all this stuff. So is she like going to talk about members of her own party? I'm really concerned because it just seems like for the sake of consistency, that's what you would do, right? You talk about people in your own party. My heavens. I wanted to touch on this story that I just saw. So you guys remember, it was a horrific video. This hockey player, Adam Johnson, after he had a collision with another hockey player. This was back in the end of October, Matt Petgrave. Well, they had a coroner's inquest, and now Petgrave was arrested on suspicion of manslaughter, which is what I thought it would be, over Adam Johnson's death. So they collided. It's on video. I think my watching the video, Petgrave lifted his leg up like he was going to kick him or something, but it just ended up too high. I don't think he intended to cut his neck off and, you know, and kill him. But that's not what the charge is about. It's not a homicide. It's manslaughter. That can be causing an accident that unintentionally results in a fatality. And that's what I think this was. I think you do have to kind of consider his past history as kind of being very combative on the ice. Like he had been in trouble before. But this, I mean, in the video, I mean, the dude had no reason to lift his leg up. He wasn't trying to regain balance. He wasn't knocked off balance. I think he just, for me watching it, and I asked my husband about this. My husband used to play hockey. And he's like, yeah, that was unnecessary what that guy did. And he just like hit him. And that's what got his neck knee, but like bled to death right there on the ice. It's just horrific. So he was just arrested on suspicion of manslaughter. He's in custody. And I mean, his whole life is ahead of him. It was in Britain that it happened. South Yorkshire police, they announced that they had arrested him. And he was arrested today. He's in custody. And they had the coroner's inquest. And so now it looks like he's on suspicion of manslaughter. So it looks like he could be charged with manslaughter. And that was the game between the Nottingham Panthers and the Sheffield Steelers. So they said that, yes, obviously the fatality was due to the fatal neck injury. And I saw him skate out on the ice. I saw a video where Petgrave skated out on the ice and people were applauding his return. Yeah, I don't think so. I think in a moment of his issue, I was reading about this dude, he's got issues. Like didn't he fight with refs and all kinds of stuff? I mean, he's been in trouble before, similar, but not, you know, obviously resulting in horrific injuries against other players. But, and apparently it's well known, but I think the guy just finally, like, you know, he went too far. And, you know, you killed a dude in front of his whole family out on the ice. So that has to be considered. And, I mean, they said, well, we have to make neck guards mandatory. Or, I don't know, make it mandatory to not have a tantrum on the ice and lift your damn skate up when you don't have to and cut a dude's neck. I mean, there's legit no reason why. There's a reason why it's so incredibly rare that it never happens. Because it's almost like you have to kind of do it on purpose, I would think, right? So, yeah, I think manslaughter is the appropriate charge for this. Me and my super educated opinion, I think dude's guilty. My husband actually agrees with me, but he actually played hockey for a really long time. So I just don't see how that something like that doesn't happen naturally. So anyway, he's arrested. I don't know why anybody would cheer him coming back on the ice. I mean, he killed a dude on the ice, you know, whether it was involuntary or not. Still. But that's still a horrifically sad story. We have headlines on the way. I just figured out, you know, Mark Wayne Mullen, the guy we were talking about, he's an MMA guy. I do want to see him fight that labor leader, Sean O'Brien, now. I want to see a Mullen versus O'Brien because I think Mullen will beat the ever-loving hell out of him. Oh, yeah. That's what it looks like. Stand your butt up. You stand your butt up. We played that last hour. Still the best. I think we might have to come back to that. As we move, folks, we got headlines coming up.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
One of these doesn't sound like the other. BMW, Subaru, and Porsche drivers are more likely to cause a crash, according to a study. They found that speeding or jumping a red light is less likely than in a Skoda or a Hyundai than in brands sold as performance driving. Really, a Subaru? You can put a Subaru up there with a Porsche? Really? You gonna do that? They looked at 400,000 UK road accidents, and they found that, riskier or aggressive maneuvers played a part in collisions. But they said that it was all University of the West of England. They said that, yeah, there's some cars. So that's their big cars, BMWs and Porsches. That there's, those are the sketchiest drivers, apparently. Researchers at the University of Prince Edward Island want to make hydrogen from potato peels. There's literally a website called Potato News Today. Just feel like you needed to know that because I do it. It's literally like it is a website about potato news. I think it's hysterical. Spuds to Energy is what they call it. And they actually are going to, it's a green energy product. They want to experiment with potato peels to produce hydrogen. So interesting. Okay. I mean, what was the experiment that we did on with potatoes? Like electricity or something with school? And yeah, I remember something like that. I think I blocked it out of my head because I hated that class. Let's see. California is now moving to restrict synthetic turf over health concerns. They thought that it could be if you wanted a green lawn in the drought. I mean, you live in a desert. Why the hell are you worried about having a green lawn? Stop it. But they said that, yes, there's a lot of downsides to a lot of the turf. They said this piece says it's not great for human health. I just think it's hot. I mean, have you ever been on turf? It's hot out in the sun. Like, especially in some states when it gets triple digits, it holds the heat. You fry out there. And I just, like, my husband, his dream was to have an all-turf yard. And I told him he was crazy. It was never going to happen because I don't like it. And he's like, they make it look so realistic. No, we're not doing that. No, we're not having a turf lawn. No, it's hot. Just super hot. Let's see. A four-year-old girl was bitten by a coyote. In a Mesa neighborhood, police did kill the coyote. They said this, bless her little heart. It bit her on the head outside of her home. It was 9 in the morning. She was playing in her front yard with her siblings when a coyote came in and attacked her. The girl's parents took her to the hospital and they began tracking the coyote through the area. Maricopa County Sheriff's officers, they responded. So did Arizona Game and Fish. They kept an eye on the coyote. It was running through residential areas for an hour. And then they said she was not seriously injured. They tested it for rabies and for other illnesses. But my gosh, can you imagine? So it's just everybody get a pet donkey. They take care of those things. They will. And cities are trying to copy Montreal's ban on right turns on red. But there's no safety. They need to avoid Montreal because aren't they the ones having the big problem with the anti-Semitic riots and that? Yeah. Stick with us. More in store.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
It would certainly be nice to have the president or the vice president or both at this rally. They need to be here. He needs to show his support, and we need to project strength on the world stage. The problem with the Biden presidency overall is that we're projecting weakness, and that invites aggression. And I think that's part of the calculation here. I think that's what Hamas and Iran, using them as a proxy, has factored in.
That's a good point. That's the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who's saying, it would have been nice to even have them acknowledge it. I mean, I get it that Biden is going to San Francisco. Harris doesn't have to go. I mean, they got their own planes. Harris could show up at this rally. But isn't that telling that they haven't even acknowledged it? Isn't it telling? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Lots of good stuff going out there regularly. And they haven't acknowledged it. I mean, it's support for the people who were attacked on October 7th. I mean, it's amazing how they can sit here and talk about Islamophobia and go on and on about that, but they say nothing about all of the noted and documented attacks that have occurred just because people identify somebody else as Jewish. It's crazy. Nothing from the president or the vice president at all whatsoever. Do we even know where she is today? Do we even know? Is Kamala Harris, is she, because I don't think she's in San Fran with the, with her boss. Yeah. And Biden's probably he's probably napping. They're probably giving him some of Hunter's cocaine and then letting him take a nap and then giving him some cocaine to get him all like wired up so that he can hold his own kind of somewhat next to the communist leader of China, of the communist China. And yeah, well, good heavens, that's going to be a mess. In the meantime, apparently there was a little shoving match in the hallway. Kevin McCarthy is being accused of elbowing and shoving Tim Burchett as he was walking past him in the hallway at the Capitol. Burchett was being interviewed by somebody from NPR, and McCarthy, according to the NPR reporter, shoved Burchett, and then Burchett chased McCarthy down in the hallway via Right Scoop, and they had words. The reporter, Claudia Grisales, said that she had never seen that on Capitol Hill. McCarthy walked by with his detail. McCarthy shoved Burchett. Burchett lunged towards him, or towards her. She thought it was a joke. It wasn't. A chase ensued. And Burchett responded jokingly as McCarthy kept walking. "Sorry, Kevin. Didn't mean to elbow." And then he seriously yelled, "Why'd you elbow me in the back, Kevin? Hey, Kevin, you got any guts?" And then Burchett looked at the reporter and said, "Jerk." And then the chase ensued. Burchett took off. She chased behind with the mic. He caught up to McCarthy and kept saying, "Why did you walk behind me and elbow me in the back?" McCarthy said, "I didn't elbow you." And that, so Burchett had apparently like voted to remove him. And McCarthy, that's, dude, McCarthy, you're not helping yourself. You ain't helping yourself doing that. And McCarthy, he backed away from McCarthy and then yelled back, "You need," and then he told him, "You need security, Kevin," something like that. And wow, in front of a reporter. You did that in front of a reporter. Seriously. You did it in front of a reporter. That is so stupid. That is dumb. That's dumb. Look, I don't like to get involved in everybody else's slap fights, right? Because I cannot stand the drama. My biggest pet peeve, my number one pet peeve, well, they're neck and neck. Oh, people who are dramatic for the sake of drama, I cannot stand it. It makes my soul cringe and curl. And, you know, like people who don't show up and do what they're supposed to do. But that, I cannot stand the drama. And this is stupid. I've been very straight, no chaser with this stuff. Like, I'm not a McCarthy fan. I've been not a fan of McCarthy longer than Matt Gaetz has not been a fan of McCarthy. But I'm civil, right? I didn't like him with the Young Guns stuff. Like, Gaetz just is catching up to us, you know. And it's not because, you know, time involved in politics has nothing to do with it. And I didn't like the way that, I did not like the timing and the manner in which McCarthy was removed. Because I, like, you got to have a substitute so we don't have this all out fight, etc. Now we got, that's all resolved. I like Mike Johnson. He's good. This is stupid. First off, if you're going to do beef, here's girl code. You don't do it where everybody can see it. You got to be sneaky with it. Ladies out there are like, mm-hmm. You can't be doing that stuff. That looks stupid because it made him look bad. It made him, he went from bad looking bad to worse. You can't do that. And plus, if you are trying to keep the appearance of being someone who has authority and influence within the GOP, picking a fight like that in front of an actual reporter, especially one that's not typically a friendly, is just stupid. Because then it showcases, oh, here's GOP infighting. Oh my gosh, you shoot yourself in the foot and you then your whole party has to deal with this. This is dumb. The opposition is across the aisle. The opposition is across the aisle. We do not have the luxury of having these ego contests in the Republican Party. We have one chance. This is what happens if you lose in 24. All the people who brought you CRT and DEI are going to write all of your algorithms for AI. Good luck with that. Your kids' schools, you're going to have national educational mandates, I guarantee you. You're going to have more mail-in balloting. That's going to be something that they're going to try to take away from the states and set the precedent of having it national. They're going to keep pushing towards nationalizing the police. Energy is going to skyrocket. Oil and gas, they're going to drive into an early grave. They're going to drive it into the grave without having infrastructure or anything or demand or performance in place with alternatives. We're going to be entirely reliant instead of OPEC, we'll be reliant upon China. We're going to see increased aggression worldwide. Hell, we'll probably have a worldwide conflict at that point. I'm not joking. It's done in 24. You lose in 24, it's done. I don't want to hear, well, I don't know if everybody's vote counts. It counts. And if you question it, then you better get everybody and their mama out there to vote. This is it. It's going to be a hell of a lot easier to register people to vote and get out to vote now than it is to send your kids off to go and die for a foreign land dispute. Isn't it? I think so. I mean, if you disagree, feel free to sign your kids up. That's what I'm at that point where I'm telling everybody, because there are other, somebody didn't like my answer. I was at an event. Someone's like, yeah, I just don't know about 24. Because you always have those, like, you know, general 30,000 foot conversations at different, you know, fundraisers and events. And I had somebody, I think it was, I don't know if it was a county commissioner fundraiser. I can't remember what it was. But they had said, yeah, I just don't know. You know, 24, I think I just, you know, I don't know. I may sit it out. And I'm like, okay, well, go ahead and send your kid up to go and die in a foreign war because you'll contribute to us losing in 24. And they just stared at me. And my husband just is not even affected when I like pop off anymore. He's just like, yeah, you know, well, you decided to say something dumb to her. So that's it. You know, we're like ripping Beth. You know, he'll tell me to put my crazy away when it's time. But I mean, he's just like, well, what'd you do? That's what you said. You chose to say that. But it's true. 24 is it. I don't have time for Kevin McCarthy to shove people in the hallway. Get over yourself. If you ain't good enough to serve, you sure as hell ain't good enough to lead. Don't have time for this. I think most people are jerks in D.C. anyway. I don't have time for a... Well, I can't say that. Kane, I almost was going to say I don't have time for a... I almost said it. I muted myself.
Thank you.
It would have been good, though. It would have been. It would have worked well. That's it. That's all the... I mean, think about it. Think about every... I mean, energy, cost of living, taxes. Oh, my gosh, the taxation. I mean, get ready to grab your ankles. That's what's going to happen. 24 is it. There's no way to claw back. It's hard enough to fight back from where we are now. Imagine they get entrenched for another 4 years. We don't have time for that. I don't have time for this petty stuff on the floor or in the hallways. I don't. Get over yourselves. Get the business of the people done. If you get an opportunity, show up. Do everything that you can to serve the people. If they like you, they'll keep you. The end. Because... I mean, we started this segment off with Kathy Hochul, or this hour, right? With Kathy Hochul talking about government surveillance. Surveilling people for speech. How do you think that's going to get better? What do you think 4 more years, do the people who are like, eh, I don't know, maybe I won't vote, and I'll just go ahead and steal my own vote and forfeit it for Biden. Do Democrats think Biden's going to get better with age? He's not a fine wine, okay? He's an old, old, desiccated dude. He's barely... like aware. The cognitive impairment is evident. This is not the time for this. It's like Chamberlain on roids. Not the time to be dealing with this stuff. That's the reality of it. I mean, and in the meantime, crime, crime, crime. Speaking of crime, did you guys see? We're talking about this story. The 17-year-old teenager who was beaten to death by a swarm of bullies because he stood up for his smaller friend that they had just robbed. He spent, maybe a day in the hospital. It was, some of it was described on camera, was caught on camera. And apparently they had not made arrests yet. I mean, they were teenagers, but apparently they apparently haven't made an arrest yet. New York Post, I was reading this morning. The dad of the teenager was saying that that the school's attempt at intervention has caused a lot of problems in the investigation because, as per usual, and by the way, you're going to get more of this after 24 if we don't win. The attempted intervention has created a lot of problems in the investigation. Jonathan Lewis Sr., his 17-year-old son, was murdered on November 7th. In a brutal video recorded in a brutal beatdown. He said it's not the local authorities' efforts to investigate. He said that it's the school, apparently. He said he was in close contact with Las Vegas PD and their detective division. And he says that he doesn't believe it's police stalling. And because the anchor goes, well, why is it taking so long? And then he says that the police haven't commented publicly. He's like, he knows they're working to collect evidence. He says there are other videos that have not been released to the public, just so that you're aware. That's what I had read, too. Someone else was saying that there are other videos out there that haven't been released to the public. And apparently the son, Jonathan Jr., was attacked first by a few kids, and they couldn't beat him up because he was so strong. And then that's when the other kids joined in, and then they beat him to death after that. And he said that it was complicated because school officials gathered up all the perpetrators, even though they were told not to do so. They did it anyway. And he said, so they made it more complex. It sounds like they're interfering with an investigation, and that's a criminal offense. That's what it sounds like to me. And his son was defending a smaller friend who had been shoved in a trash can, and the mob set on him. I mean, they had him. It was a mob of kids, a mob of teenagers, and all of them. Just, wow, just shocking. And it was at Rancho High School. So it sounds like, I mean, if the school is gathering up just in our evidence, folks, of seeing the way schools have reacted in situations like this, particularly look at, you know, like Loudoun County, when you had the girl, they were protecting the trans, the boy who wanted to be he was gender fluid. Wasn't that what it was? The crotch denier who wanted to be gender fluid and basically was still a boy, 18 years old, rapes a girl in the bathroom, and they try to cover it up and hide it. Actually go after the dad for objecting over them hiding it, and then just sent the boy to a different school where he predictably attacked yet another female. It sounds kind of similar. It echoes that. This is horrific. I hope they get justice, and I hope every single one of those youths, this isn't just a stupid thing like, oh, somebody, you know, like somebody stole something from a convenience store and goes to jail for. This is these teenagers were old enough to know what they were doing. I think they should all be tried as adults. Blank them kids. That is no, there's got to be consequences to that. There's got to be consequences to that. That is ridiculous. I wouldn't want any of them out on the street that age or any age, if I'm being honest.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
This has been the habit here for decades now, for a long time, as long as I've been in Congress and before, where the Senate jams the House right before the Christmas holiday with a giant bill that's thousands of pages long that very few people have read and spends, you know, last year $1.7 trillion, adding $100 billion in new spending, just sprinkling that on top. That is no way to run a railroad. And so this innovation, this laddered CR that we're doing, prevents that from happening. And I think we'll have bipartisan agreement that that is a better way to do it, to have the actual appropriations process. I began that immediately after I got the gavel, but here we are on the eve of November 17th. We have a shutdown looming, and we've got to prevent that because that would do even more harm for the economy.
Good. That's probably not the most attractive soundbite we could have played. You know, it's not super exciting. It's not jam-packed. You know why? And I do not, please do not misunderstand me. I do not say this as an insult. Mike Johnson's boring. I want a boring speaker. I want a speaker who goes in and gets it done and gets the work done and doesn't engage in shoving matches in front of NPR reporters. That's what I want. I want that kind of guy. And he's just of the business of the people. We're back to talking about, we're not going to have a government shutdown. Democrats are going to come to the table. I mean, good. Get at it. Yeah. Yes. I want my government to be boring and not a place where grifters go because they look at it as a springboard for contributorship post office. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Tomorrow we're going to have a big old argument, probably. Not an argument. You all agree with me. There's going to be a film, Hannibal, and it's going to be starring Denzel Washington, and Antoine Fuqua is making it. And I think Denzel Washington is one of the greatest actors of our generation. I will take out all my switchblades, hold them in my hands like a ninja, and I will fight everybody on this hill. He is, I think, one of the best living actors today. And if it's anything like the redo of Magnificent Seven, which seems like you couldn't even remake that movie, he was brilliant as Chisholm. He was so great in it. I think this will be stunning. We'll talk tomorrow. Today in stupidity in the meantime.
All right, this is Charlie Schumer. Chuck Schumer.
Oh, he's at the march.
Yeah, he was commenting on the what happened to Israel, you know, from Hamas, October 7th, and he's mixing January 6th with October 7th here. Listen to what he says. Listen.
So the minute I heard of what happened in January 7th, I knew I had to go.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's October 7th, but.
Oh, no. Yeah. They're obsessed.
Yeah.
They're obsessed, dude. They're obsessed. That does it for the program today. We're halfway through the week tomorrow. Sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.